It's the off season, folks, and we're right in the middle of it. It's late July, not exactly a bevy of topics to discuss, but one thing I've been wanting to cover about the Warriors for a long time, and I finally have an expert in the field, Keith Smith, joining me, and that's the salary cap situation and the luxury tax situation and just basically what these penalties are, what the salary cap means, what luxury taxes mean, what gradient increases mean. I mean, there's so many nuances to the whole salary cap CBA situation, and Keith Smith is going to help us answer as much as he can about the complexities of the Warriors' financial situation. That's what we're going to cover today. We're going to find out the future of the Warriors, what they have to spend. We might do some prognosticating. Should be a good time. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. You can follow Keith Smith on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. You can follow me, Cyrus Sautzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow. Keith, great to finally have you on the program. Are you a Celtics fan? Is that fair to say? Because you're from that area, correct?
Yeah, I grew up there. I grew up just south of Boston. So I grew up on the Celtics of the 80s and in the 90s. The 80s were more enjoyable than most of the 90s, especially after Bird retired. And then, yeah, and, you know, that stuck with me. I've stayed with them. I've moved here to Orlando almost 20 years ago. I lived in Southern California for a while. I've spent some time internationally in my pre-basketball career. So it's been one of those things. So yeah, it's Celtics fan is fair enough. It's one of those things where after I got into covering the team, the fandom started to die off a little bit. Like I used to be the kind of person who, if they lost like a regular season game on Tuesday in Charlotte, I'd be angry until the next game. And that doesn't happen anymore. I get over it pretty quickly, but this past year in the playoff run of the finals, I got caught back up in it pretty good.
Of course. And I was going to bring that up first and foremost before we talk about the Warriors salary cap structure. Like, what were your feelings about that series? When the Celtics were up 2-1, a lot of people were freaking out. A lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion. The Celtics were going to finish the series off. And then one Mr. Wardell, Stephen Curry, stepped in and had just an absolutely historic performance in that game four that really turned the series around. What was your feeling from that series when it finished? And how do you feel about the Celtics now, especially with these Kevin Durant rumors? Jaylen Brown yesterday just did a shaking my head tweet because his name's being linked to Kevin Durant. What are your thoughts on all that, please?
Yeah, I think to go back to the finals, despite Grant Williams' thoughts on the matter, I do think the better team won. I think the Warriors were the better team. I think when it got down to it and it was really tight, you could see that the Warriors' core guys had been there, done that, and they knew how to handle it a little bit better than the Celtics players did. And I think they were two pretty evenly matched teams. I think there was a reason all the games were pretty close for the most part. And I think the Warriors, that was the edge, right? When you get there, these titles are won on the thinnest of margins, and their margin of, hey, we know what to do here. And as you said, having Stephen Curry helps a little bit, right? It's not a bad guy to have if you need to have somebody drag you to a championship. And that's a little unfair, right? Because Andrew Wiggins was great. I thought Klay Thompson was better as the series went along. And then I thought Draymond showed up when they needed him to at the end. So, yeah, the better team won. Going forward, super excited about the Celtics. I think they've had a great offseason. Kevin Durant stuff notwithstanding. Getting Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari. I know there's injury issues. I know Gallo's a little older, but they got them both for no rotation players given up. So they're bringing back all the important guys from last year, plus adding those two guys to the mix. I think they're really set up to do something here. We'll see if anything happens with these KD rumors, but at this point, I don't know what to make of that. It's one of those things where I've learned over the years covering the NBA, a lot of stuff is where did this come from and trying to trace back sourcing and those kind of things to figure out, all right, who benefits from this report. But we'll see, you know, where that one all goes to. But yeah, I think they're set up to make a pretty nice run here.
You know, you're right. When I saw the Celtics make the decision to or their offseason decisions, they added Malcolm Brogdon, fantastic backup point guard. A lot of people were saying that was one of the types of players they were missing. I thought Danilo Gallinari was a fantastic addition. He's been an underrated player most of his career. He stands like 6'10", but he plays like a swing. That was huge. I feel like if the Celtics had those two players in the series last year, it could have made a difference. So, but then I see these rumors, and these aren't like, questionable reports coming out. I mean, these are like legit sources saying that the Celtics literally reached out to the Nets. They offered Jaylen Brown, who I thought was the best player for the Celtics in the NBA Finals, in a trade package for Kevin Durant, which supposedly the Nets refused. Did you like hearing that? That would have bothered me. I would not support that trade, first of all. I think the Celtics are better off with a much younger Jaylen Brown than bringing Kevin Durant in, who does not guarantee a world championship. What are your thoughts on that? Did you like it? And your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I think I'm very conflicted by it because I'm seeing too much, and it's try not to get caught up in the fandom side of it too much because you have the fans who are like, hey, Jaylen Brown's our guy, like forget it, you know, I wouldn't trade him for prime Michael Jordan, right? And it's like, come on, like let's not be silly. But I do think when you look at it, it's kind of being. People are forgetting Kevin Durant was a 37-6 guy last year on almost 50-40-90 shooting. So like, that's pretty special. Like that's, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, if you replace Kevin Durant or replace Jaylen Brown with Kevin Durant in the finals, Celtics probably win that title because Kevin Durant probably lifts them just a little bit higher as they needed. But I do think it's one of those things where if it was the rumored package of Jaylen Brown, Derek White and a pick, I probably swallow hard and I say, all right, let's do it. Let's really make this run. Go get a title in the next 2 to 3 years and go. If it's Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, another player, multiple picks, at that point it tilts too far. And I would say no. And I would go from there. And it's, to me, this is a perfect trade rumor package discussion around what are your priorities? Is it to just win a title in the next couple years, win a couple titles in the next couple years, or try to keep that window pretty open for the next 5-6 years. And then I'll couch all this with, if the Celtics have any inkling that Jaylen Brown is, I'm out of here in two years when I'm a free agent, then go, whether it's this trade or another trade, go get something before he walks for nothing. Unless it's really like, hey, with him, we're the overwhelming favorites to win the title. And then keep him, win the title and deal with it when it comes down the line here. But yeah, it's one of those ones that's really, really tough because it's just this one has a fan base divided. A lot of people are like, I think it's also there's Durant turned Boston down to go to Golden State back in the day, right? And then he went to the Nets and he was part of that whole like idea of like, well, he took Kyrie away, which is funny because no one was really sad to see Kyrie go by that point. He had already kind of, quit on the team in the playoffs the prior year and done some weird stuff. So everybody's ready for that to end. But that whole situation, so that's been a little bit weird. So I think there is a little bit, if this was a different player, I think people might feel slightly differently other than, it's Kevin Durant. And now people are finding reasons to be like, is Kevin Durant even that good? And the answer, as we both know, is yes, he's that good. He is very, very good. But yeah, we'll see where it goes.
No, he is that good. You're right. But there are negatives. I mean, he does turn 34 next year. He is moody. You never know if a year from now he's suddenly going to want another trade request. And never mind the fact that the Celtics swept his team in the first round of the playoffs last year. I mean, they owned him. And now I could see why Jaylen Brown is upset. And Brad Stevens is playing with fire a little bit here because with this rumor. And I don't think it's a rumor. I mean, this is it seems to be reports that the Celtics reached out. And if that's true, I mean, now you got to deal with a potentially disgruntled Jaylen Brown. Fascinating. And for the Warriors fan base, 100% understands this, simply because the Warriors, when the trade request first came out, were directly linked to Kevin Durant. A lot of people were shooting it down for some reason, but when you looked at all the evidence, clearly the Warriors were interested. But Sean Marks, I think, is out of his mind given what the asking price is that he's at, that he wants. I mean, Kevin Durant, look, is a great player, but this is also an aging asset. This is a player that you're going to get 2-3 years maybe of that level. You know, he is injury prone. Again, it's going to be what, his 15th, 16th year in the NBA. And when we come back, I really want to touch on the Warriors side of it, because the rumors with the Warriors was it was likely going to be a combination of Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, maybe James Wiseman. The reports were that the Nets also wanted the prized youngsters of either Moody or Kuminga, which is certainly a deal breaker from the Warriors' perspective now more than ever. And the salary cap ramifications come into play here. That's where I would love to pick that brilliant mind of yours. First, got to give love to a couple sponsors here. We do not have a show on Monday, so I'm going to give two sponsors love today. And just for people listening, by the way, we're now deep in the summer doldrums of the NBA season. So we're not going to be a daily podcast. We'll be 2 to 3 days a week until we get into probably, I'm guessing, September, October, depending on when Locked On lets us know. So with that said, first, BetOnline, longtime sponsor of this program. BetOnline.net, more specifically, is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball. The NFL training camps are already here. The NBA, you can bet on futures, NHL, the same, combat sports, esports, and even golf. And here's an interesting thing, Keith, that I can get you involved in. When the season ended and the Warriors were hosting their fourth Larry O'Brien trophy in 8 years, they were the overwhelming favorites, according to BetOnline, to repeat as world champions next year. Since that time, it's been 40 days, and the Boston Celtics are now the heavy favorites to win the world championship next year. The odds have them at 4-1, the Milwaukee Bucks at 6-1, the Warriors in third at 7-1. Your thoughts on the odds makers now placing the Celtics not just as a slight favorite, but as a clear favorite to win the title next year?
I've got to believe there's some pricing in of maybe Kevin Durant into that. I think at BetOnline specifically, because I get the emails from them, Celtics have been kind of inching up the odds ladder over the course of the offseason, as they added, you know, as we talked about, you got two good players without any major guys going out the other way. I think there's a priced in improvement factor of, hey, some young guys are going to be better next year, and now they've got that experience of getting there. Yep. We often see teams, it's funny, it feels like it goes one of two ways outside of the whole, right in pen here at the end of July, Warriors versus Cavs every year, like we did for half a decade. It feels like when teams make the finals, there is one of two things happen. Either it all kind of falls apart on them the next year and they don't ever sniff it again, or they come back motivated. Let's get back there and finish the job and come back the other way. So I would not personally put them that big of favorites. That's going a little too far for me. I think there are some other really good teams in the mix there, but I do think I think having them in that top grouping of teams would be very fair.
And I agree. And as I try to tell people regularly, these odds are set based on public perception. So these Kevin Durant rumors, I think, help boost it. I'm just a little surprised that the Milwaukee Bucks past the Golden State Warriors. I haven't seen anything new happen with either team recently, except the Warriors added a solid free agent, and for some reason the Bucks have passed them now. But regardless, BetOnline is where you can go. They continue to be the top online resource for your sports wagering information. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. And look, I'm trying to lose some weight right now. I actually went surfing yesterday, and the first thing I did when I got out of the water was eat a Built Bar, because they're packed with protein and low sugar. On average, your Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, and it's not just regular protein. It's collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Remember, folks, the more muscle you have, the higher your metabolism is, resulting in burning fat quicker. And on average, Your Built Bar only has 130 calories, yet they also average 17 grams of protein versus just 4 grams of sugar and covered in 100% real chocolate. These are yummy protein bars that actually pack a lot of punch in terms of health benefits. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code is LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. For your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. You can follow Keith Smith, who also updates the NBA very regularly on his Twitter account at KeithSmithNBA. So let's talk about the Warriors. Joe Lacob said publicly that next year he's going to, and I'm not quoting him verbatim, I'm paraphrasing, but that he has a hard time seeing paying both Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole max contracts next year. Andrew Wiggins will be an unrestricted free agent. Jordan Poole will be a restricted free agent, and Poole reportedly wants a max deal. A year from now, if this scenario presents itself, what are the Warriors really paying? Have you done the research? Like, let's say like Wiggins and Poole both are paid max contracts. I believe James Wiseman's salary jumps a few million dollars as well, up to $12 million, if my number is correct. And please correct me on any of this. What kind of penalty are the Warriors looking at if they decide, you know, they keep the roster the way it is? I believe Draymond and Clay are free agents in 2 years. But then you give Wiggins and Poole max extensions. Like, is that feasible? What kind of penalty would the Warriors see from the luxury tax? Inform all of us, please.
Yeah, a big one. And I'm not trying to be snarky. It would be...
No. Please, be snarky even if you have to. Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it would be record-setting like we've kind of never seen before. If we just said, this is what they would have on their books, numbers-wise. You'd have Stephen Curry at almost $52 million. You'd have Klay Thompson, $43 million. Andrew Wiggins would start almost $40 million on a max contract. Then you would have Jordan Poole at a little over $33 million on a max contract. Draymond Green at 27.5, and then James Wiseman at $12 million. So, and then you've got some smaller salaries in there, obviously, yes, too, because you've got Kuminga, Moody, Patrick Baldwin, Looney, Dante DiVincenzo, if he picks up. Yeah, you're sitting roughly at, let's just call it $155 million in total salary. Now, here's your I'm sorry, I blew that one. I read the wrong line, because that would be good. You're sitting about $240 million in total salary. So okay. I totally blew that one. That's about, let's roughly say, $79 million over the tax line.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of easy to see why he would say, yeah, I don't think so. I can't see us paying both those guys. Because when you're sitting there, that's a number that is, even for me, that's like unfathomable. Like that starts to be numbers that don't even make sense. Because if you really break it down, you're investing $240 million into just your salaries. Then you're $79 million over the tax line. But that's before we factor in any kind of the repeater penalties that would come in on that, which would be, you know, beyond record repeater penalties. How it works is once you get $20 million over, you're $4.75 for every dollar as a repeater team. And for every $5 million more you're over, add 50 more cents onto that. So we're talking 20, 30, 40, let's just call it $80 million there. You'd be sitting there, you know, 20, you're talking $7-$8 per dollar over, which is just, that's just the penalty portion on right. top of what you already paid in taxes. So now you're talking, you know, five times that, you're talking well over $500 million for one season of basketball
when all said and done, right?
Yeah, when all between salary, tax, and tax penalties, Jesus. you're going to be up over $500 million, and that's why I think they are probably sitting and saying, Yeah, maybe not. Now, there could be a couple of things that happen, right? You could see maybe Draymond Green pulls a James Harden and says, you know what, I'll opt out. I'll take far less money. But you're still even, he's not like he's going to go from 20 million plus to a minimum contract. That's not going to happen. Even Harden didn't go quite that far. That would be one of those things where all of a sudden you'd have Players Association folks saying, wait a minute. Like, now owners are going to expect everybody to start doing things like this. So, yeah, even if you opted out and took a little bit less, but you're locked into an awful lot of money there. And that starts to become the question is, where are we going beyond this upcoming season because of that? Because I know it's not coming yet. The new TV money's not here yet. You know, everybody's not benefiting from that today. You know, we are approaching a time when paying $500 million in salary, it's probably within the next 10 years, someone's going to do it. I just don't think we're there quite yet.
Talk about that CBA, because you're right. Everyone's anticipating the salary cap going up because of all these TV dollars. Could that kick in as soon as like next off season? Like, no. When does that kick in, actually? Do you know?
Yeah, so what's going to happen here is both the players and owners, they have mutual opt-outs of the CBA itself this December. So this upcoming season, it's going to be played like normal, no worries. Everything should move on. If, let's say, everything went south and, they decided, we don't have, things aren't good, and we're going to do a lockout because that's just always how it goes. We would have a lockout before next season. So we would get through this season, finals and everything, we would have a lockout next season. Now, the anticipation is that won't happen. Didn't happen last time around. The NBA and the NBPA have formed a really good relationship. I think as much as it sucks to have gone through multiple pandemic impacted seasons, they made it through it. It made it through it on the other side pretty good, right? They're sitting now pretty. And I always like to use the saying, we'd all rather split a half a watermelon or have split a half a watermelon than have a whole grape. Right. Everybody's making a ton of money here on both sides. So what we're going to see happen is they're going to negotiate. They already started it. They started it over the summer. They're going to continue to negotiate. And I have a feeling before that mutual opt-out comes, they're going to have reached an agreement on some stuff. Because what happens is the hard things are the big items. How do we split the pie? Who gets so much of it? What happens here? What happens there? Well, the good news is those are pretty well hammered out. Now we're into, it's for guys like me, they're still major items. For fans, they're still big items. Like, how do we keep guys a year into a five-year deal from saying, I want to trade and those kind of things? But on their side, those are smaller items because those are, they're almost like side letters, agreements, and amendments to the CBA to say, all right, hey, we're going to add in, hey, if you player and team agree on a five-year contract, neither side can do a trade, until you're 2 years into it or something like that. We're going to get changes there. So that's what's going to happen. But the big change that's going to come after that, which is part of why this negotiation is going to be interesting, is we're going to get new TV money about two more years after is when all the TV contracts come out. And now it's expected. ESPN has already said openly, we want to stay partners with the NBA. It's hugely important for us because also they put the games on ABC for the playoffs and the finals. TNT has already said, we're going to stay partners with the NBA. But you're talking two, three, maybe four nights a week in the regular season at most there. That leaves three other nights a week where games are either we're all watching on League Pass or we're watching on our local channel or on NBA TV. I think NBA TV would happily say, hey, Apple, Amazon, whoever it is that now you've jumped in on these other sports.
There you go.
You want to air, Tuesday night is your exclusive window. Monday nights on, Apple TV is your exclusive NBA window. And we'll make sure the schedule always has, one or two marquee games on a Monday night or something like that. And I think that's where we're headed for this is we're going to have the regular players involved. But then we're also going to get a couple other parties involved here, too, that are non-traditional providers. So the streaming markets that are going to get in there. And that's going to throw that TV money from here pretty good to way up here off camera where no one can see it. And that's going to be where it all goes. And then everybody's going to be making a ton more money. That's why I say within a decade, paying $500 million for a team probably won't be a thing we'll say is that's absolutely insane. But that's a long time from now when, you know, everything's going to be that much more. But that's why I think doing that, not this coming season, but the season after, that's still too early to be pushing somebody to that kind of level, just because I just can't see it happening without a major change to, hey, the luxury tax is going to be, you know, far less punitive. And I don't think we've got about 20 teams in the league that are very interested in doing that. I think most are, hey, Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Bulls, if you ever jump into the tax mix, Boston, all you big markets, you want to build your super teams, you go pay for them and pay, you know, billion, you know, pay $500 million. Well, the rest of us, we're going to try to level this playing field as much as we can. And it's just going to be hard to get a lot of change to that tax structure, unless the players jump on and say, hey, now we've got Jordan Poole missing out on a potential max contract because the Warriors won't pay him. They still have restricted rights on him. That's going to force him down to $20 million a year versus mm-hmm. the $30 million he could get. And then maybe the players get involved and they start fighting with alongside the big market teams to say, hey, we do need to make this less punitive. But we'll see where that goes. I don't necessarily expect that to be how it all plays out.
That was a lot of information. Thank you. Where, you know, one thing that could affect the smaller markets and people here in the Bay Area have been talking about this a lot is the fact that it doesn't matter whether the player is a free agent or if they were drafted, you know, those taxes and those penalties apply regardless. And there's been an argument that maybe there shouldn't be as harsh of a penalty. Maybe there shouldn't be any penalties if you're paying your own guys that you've drafted. A small market like the Oklahoma City Thunder comes to mind, given they've had a bevy of draft picks. Some of these players in a few years from now are going to be due for big deals. And if you keep them all, now you're paying the same type of taxes that the Warriors pay, because almost all their players, except for Wiggins, were draft picks. Could you see that being something that's modified in the CBA, or do you think it's going to be status quo?
I think there is a chance. I think that is more than changing the tax penalties. I think how deals are taxed is more likely to see it get changed, because I do think they want to protect against, okay, cool, so you loaded up in free agency and went and signed three max guys. Yeah, you're going to still pay for that like you would. I wrote for Spot Track recently. I wrote an article about the Warriors, and it was titled, "Is the Warriors Spending Really Bad for the NBA?" And I'll summarize it really quick here. My answer to everybody who complains about it, boo-hoo, cry me a river. You drafted, as you said, you drafted and developed these guys. This is what we should want. This is, quite frankly, as sports fans, this is also what we should demand of our ownership, is your front office did the work. You picked the right players. Was there some luck involved? Sure, absolutely. Teams passing on Steph and the Warriors getting him despite him kind of saying, it's not really where I want to go. Initially, they said, too bad, we're going to pick you anyway. Some of that stuff is luck, but some of that is, that's part of drafting. But when you nail Steph, Clay, and Draymond in kind of succession, well, you shouldn't be penalized more so because of that. And that's not something where it should be, well, you know what, you can't keep them all because too bad for you. Now, I do get it, right? The Warriors are in a different position than the Oklahoma City Thunder, than, say, the Orlando Magic, where I live.
Right. Right.
Those ownerships, those markets, they can't support having, you know, three $40 million players. It's just not something they're going to be able to do. So I do like the idea of, hey, I don't want to take any money out of the players' pockets. I want them to all get as much money as they can. This is great, because my boss calls me tomorrow and says, hey, we want to give you, you know, $1 million. I'm certainly not going to say no. I'm going to say, sure, let's go. When do I sign, and when's the first direct deposit hit, right? I want the players to get as much, but I would like to see it rebalanced where if it's your own guy that you're re-signing to a deal, and I'll even extend it to if you went and signed a player like Mac McClung, right? The Warriors just picked him up. Let's say he pops and he becomes awesome. All right, well, you can pay. You don't get hit as hard 10 years from now if Mac McClung's still on the roster and is, you know, turned into Steph Curry 2.0, right? Like we're not going to penalize you too much for that with that one. Where you'll pay full bonus, we went out and signed another team's free agent this year, and now we go forward with that. You're stuck on that. And there are ways that can all be tracked and written and covered and everything else. So we have it, forms of trying to prevent these things as far as the designated player rules go. Is, you know, as we all know, it's not as easy as trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Durant because Ben Simmons is on the team and you can't have two designated guys you traded for, blah, 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 blah. I won't bore everybody to tears with that, but it's if we can put rules like that in there, as obscure as they are, and even people like myself forget them at sometimes, we could put in things where it's, oh yeah, you know, Curry's contract only counts for half or three quarters or whatever it is because he was their own drafted player.
Right.
You know, I don't want him to make less, but let's count it towards less towards, you know, and I would say, hey, if you're operating as an under the cap team, let's only count it as half towards that, and you get more cap space, creates more player movement, allows teams to build up all the way to that cap, because we're going to see the cap jump in future years. And then let's change it to, if you're an over-the-cap team approaching the tax line, then it only counts. Maybe it counts three quarters if you're under the cap, and if you go over the cap, it only counts as half towards the tax penalties or something. And then that doesn't impact the player at all. The player, you know, Steph still gets his $50 million, because that – right, Steph, what we just ran through, his contract is really costing the Warriors like $300 to $350 million.
Right, right. Exactly.
And you know who doesn't get a dime of that? Stephen Curry. Get a penny of that extra $300 million, because it all gets divvied up and spread out to everybody else around the league. So that's where we want to make sure that we're, you know, doing this the right way.
Well, I was about to ask you that, like, where does that extra tax money go? Because I've read the language and it is not specific. Does it get reallocated to the other teams? I've read language like special interests, like, I don't know. So you're saying like all that extra money just gets redivvied as like a pie?
Yeah. So what happens is, and this is a point of confusion for some people, the tax snapshot is taken at the end of the regular season. On the last day of the regular season, whatever your roster is, as the season comes to an end, they take your tax snapshot. Now, we all know, right, teams make trades in between the end of the regular season and the start of the new year. That's when a lot of the draft day trades happen and those things. Those don't factor in. So you can't cut your tax bill after the end of the regular season, even if you send money out. There were Jazz fans that were like, oh, cool, we traded Gobert, we saved a bunch of money in that trade, so our tax bill comes down. One, two, don't root for lower tax bills. Billionaires own these teams. Who cares? Make them pay for them.
I'm with you on that.
Right. Yeah. Like that's, you know, yes. I get it when it becomes if we have a lower tax bill, we can use this exception and sign up. Then, yeah, root for it. But once you're up and over the limit, who cares, right? So, 100%. But anyway,
yes.
Then what happens is,
sympathizing, right? Sorry to cut you off, but the sympathizing for billionaires is ridiculous to me. It's the they can easily afford all this, but continue
these
on.
These are hobbies, right? No, nobody makes their living off these teams anymore. These are hobbies on their side project off of something else they make their billions off of. So, so I go back to them when I go back and look at the, where the tax money goes. What they do is they take that snapshot, then they, all right, we're, you know, we have $400 million total in tax distribution to be divvied up or whatever it is. And then what happens is a chunk of that money gets divvied up amongst all the non-tax teams. That's why you will see teams, if they're within, it's generally even within $5 million of the tax line, they will do everything they can to get out of the tax because their ownership is pushing their front office, get us out of the tax. Like, we don't want to be sitting here paying the tax, you know, and missing out on this. And what actually today is the day everybody's going to get about $10.5 million of the 23 non-tax paying teams from last year. They're all going to get about $10.5 million from the league today. Go straight into the ownership. Now, you hope those owners turn around and would reinvest and say, hey, you know what? We just got this $10 million. If we go $3 million into the tax. But yeah, we all exactly know where that goes. And I'll be, to be totally fair, every once in a while, you'll have ownerships groups come out and say, hey, that new, you know, section of the arena that we built up, and because, you know, if they own the arena too, or we improved parking around the area or whatever, we did whatever. Sometimes they do come out and say that came because we got a chunk of money through the tax distribution. Okay. But more often than not, it's, you know, all right, this, we're going to, you know, I hesitate to say pocket it, but it's just going to be, it becomes just part of our revenue stream, and off we all go forward with that. And then the last thing I'll say with the Warriors and their spending too is, one of the things that I think they get unfairly dinged for a lot is they're not owned by Steve Ballmer, who in the time of me saying this sentence made, you know, the amount to pay whatever tax bill he gets hit, right? It's, you know, that's not who they're owned by, right? And if somebody did a ranking of the ownership's, you know, wealth when you take away their assets and things, and they were in the, I want to say, in the lower third. Now, yes, having Chase Center, which I'll be the 99th person to make the joke, it prints money, right? And it might as well be what it's for. I fully understand and get that. But the first, year and a half that building was open, wasn't making much because there wasn't anything going on because we were sitting in the middle of a pandemic. But, you know, that's why I think in a way too, instead of a lot of these other markets crying poor mouth, they have reinvested time and time and time again. And I'll also say this last piece on it. I want to say it's of their recent titles. I think two or three of them, they weren't a tax team, period.
And this is where I've made this argument repeatedly because you're absolutely right. They had Steph on that really cheap contract. Clay was nowhere near max. Draymond was on a cap friendly deal. Like, there was a reason why they were able to add Kevin Durant on a free agent contract because they were that far under the cap. And so, you know, you're absolutely right. And what I always point out is that even though Lacob and Goober, I've heard Peter Goober's actually filthy rich, but I don't know for sure if we can confirm that.
But I think he's part owner, right? Like, it's not
part
like,
yes,
yeah, that's the, yeah, I
this 24%.
The thing I've been looking at, I think, was the primary owner. And I'll say this on the Kevin Durant thing too, it would have been very, very easy for them at that point to say, nope, he just let him go to Brooklyn. We're not going to take back D'Angelo Russell in a salary slot, because that's really no disrespect meant to D'Angelo Russell, but that's what they did. They preserved a $30 million salary slot.
And the asset,
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it was, they could have very easily said, no, we know Clay's out for the year. Let him go. We're probably, I don't think anybody knew Steph and Draymond were then going to get hurt too, obviously. But they could have very easily said, you know, we're going to take a step back. We're going to get our finances in order and then we'll go. But instead it was, nope, we'll preserve the salary slot. We know this will cost us tax, even though we're probably naturally going to step back just a slight bit, and then let's go from there. And that is, to me, again, that should be applauded versus all these people crying and complaining about, oh, these Warriors are spending money. Yeah, I get it. If this was like when Mark Cuban first came in, he was like the richest new owner in the league, and it was like every year was like increase, until, you know, you couldn't see it anymore, I would get it. If Steve Ballmer was doing that, which to some extent he kind of is, you know, we'll see if it pays off. But again, they're winning and it's mostly with their own guys. Like, that's
crazy.
And now, to be fair, we are seeing, I think they've hit some upper bounds, right? They could have kept both Payton and Porter. They could have gave Gary Payton the exact same contract he got from Portland. I don't know exactly how, you know, I haven't heard yet that Payton was like, nope, I'm out. I'm going to Portland no matter what. But they could have. They could have given Otto Porter Jr. the same amount of money he got. Now, they wouldn't have also had Dante DiVincenzo, but they could have done that instead. And obviously it was at least some level of financial decision of, yeah, we have a max. We're willing to, you know, hey, you guys both want to come back on the minimum again? Done. I think that would have been easy. And neither one of the players should have done that. And obviously they did not. But I do think we are starting to hit. And with the comments of, I don't know about both Wiggins and Poole, I do think we're hitting the upper bounds of, all right, yeah, we're about where we're going to be as far as how much we're going to pay in a single season. We'll keep paying over time, but, you know, we're not jumping up to these, you know, obscene levels that no one's ever seen before.
You're absolutely right. What I read, if my understanding is correct, I believe the Warriors saved $56 million swapping Otto Porter Jr. and Gary Payton II for DiVincenzo and then JaMychal Green. You're right. They absolutely could have easily matched both those deals. They opted to save the money, but I'm happy with Jermichael Green from a Dub Nation perspective. Last question. I'll let you go. You've been phenomenal today, Keith. I do hope I get you back on at some point. Just because you're a bevy of information, valuable information. What will come first? The Warriors having to make a decision on Wiggins and Poole, or the salary cap, the CBA being remodify it. So basically, the Warriors might not have to pay the same penalties. Like, will there be, which will come first so that maybe there's hope then that they can keep both those players?
I think we'll have a sense of what the CBA may change to look like if it's going to be there. I think we'll have a pretty good sense because Wiggins and Poole this time-ish next year, right? That's a July decision for next year. Wiggins will be unrestricted. And even Poole, you can stretch it a little longer because he's going to be a restricted free agent. And you
can kind of hang on to him
on there if you had to. But we'll know, because what we'll either have is a reconfigured CBA and everyone will know what the rules are going to be well in advance of that. Or, unfortunately, I hate to say it this way, even if it doesn't result in any kind of lost games, we'll have a lockout. And a lockout isn't always it gets such a negative connotation. And in general, yes, I get it is a negative thing, but it's just a mechanism. It's just the way we put everything on pause. We basically say we're shut down until we reach an agreement. But I tend to believe before either side opts out in December, I think we're going to hit a new agreement. And I think they're going to spend the rest of the summer, the early part of the fall, really hammering out these details on what do we want to do. And there are, you know, the Warriors are most public, right? Joe Lacob just got fined $500,000 for, you know, saying, you know, but it's funny because it got misconstrued that he got fined for criticizing the tax penalties when it was really got fined for talking about CBA stuff publicly, which you're not supposed to do. And that's happened to other owners and agents and player, and a bunch of people have been got caught in trouble on that. But I do think the Warriors are not the only team that is pushing, hey, let's maybe think about these tax penalties a little bit. And I think they're going to be joined with a handful of partners who might be looking at this year, next year, and the couple of seasons before the new TV money kicks in and everything pushes up. With that, there's definitely people who are looking at it and saying, yeah, hey, you know what? They're the loudest about it because they paid the most, but we kind of don't want to be in that spot either. So I do think we're going to see something move on that one here. So I do think by the time we get to next summer, when they're really going to make these decisions, they'll know. I even think before we get to the trade deadline, if it became, all right, well, you know, well, we can't re-sign this guy anyway. Let's get moved off, and you know, let's move Andrew Wiggins and split that $33 million contract up into, you know, two $15 million contracts or whatever it is. Let's go that direction. They'll have a pretty good idea with that. The last thing that I'll say too is,
please,
I just want to, and now you're learning too, I like to talk. I if nothing else, I love the sound of my own voice.
Promote away if that's what you're going with. First of all, your website, real quick, your website Spot Track is phenomenal. I would like to raise awareness for that. It's SPOTRAC.com, Spot Track. Highly recommended. Folks, when you watch this show, I oftentimes have SpotTrack.com open as one of my tabs to get information because it's easy and it's valuable, it's accurate. So kudos for working for a great company, and please plug away. Yeah,
appreciate
promote
whatever
you need. Yeah.
Oh, it's, I think there's a potential if we're both lucky enough 10 years from now to be still doing this in whatever format it is, or it'll probably just download directly in your brain 10 years from now. But I think there's the potential that exists we're having repeat conversations, because I think the Warriors are set up better than any team I can remember. And I'll go back to, like I said, I've been watching the Celtics since the 80s. And I remember when the setup for the Celtics was, as Bird, McHale, and Parrish age out, we've got Reggie Lewis and Len Bias are going to be next. And unfortunately, you know, Len didn't make it, passed away. Reggie passed away earlier than he should. But I think with the Warriors, since that Celtics team, I think they are best set up to thread that needle of where we're going right from one group of great players to potentially another group of really good to great players. I'm not going to say it's going to be the same because they've lived a charmed life in this dynasty, you know, over the last half decade or more. But I do think as far as staying very good and competitive, they're set up to be right there because as those other guys are ready to take a step back, and I think that's still probably 2-3 years away, the way those guys still look. But you've got Wiseman, Kuminga, Moody. If they could keep Jordan Poole, which is part of why I think Jordan Poole might be more priority than maybe Andrew Wiggins. We'll see. I know that's a big debate amongst Warriors fans right now. We'll see how that goes. But they are so set up. And again, it's because, yes, I realize they dropped in the standings, and that's how they got Wiseman and Kuminga and all that. But it's just smart scouting development. I'm not out on Wiseman. I think he's still going to be really, really good. I think people have given up on that guy way
they
too
have.
Soon.
You're right.
Yeah. I think we're set up that this is going to keep going for a while there in Golden State, where this team's not going away anytime soon.
Bravo. Keith, follow Keith Smith on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Thank you for that incredible information and just for a great show in general. Hope you back to have you back on soon. And again, you can read all of his content, by the way. Obviously, if you go to his Twitter account at Keith Smith NBA, you can find the link for his author page, but spottrack.com, phenomenal website. Congrats on landing there and all your success. Cause like we were talking before we started recording, I remember like two, three years ago, all of a sudden you showed up on Twitter and I was like, who is this guy? Like, and you're just throwing all this information out and you're just throwing your name out there. Like, I'm available for hire. And I remember thinking like, is this going to work? I'm curious. And it did, man. You kept landing gigs and I'm happy for you, brother. Thank you. Congratulations on all your success. Hope it continues on. Congrats on your beautiful family that you told me about before we started recording. So bravo. It looks like things are going good for you. And I hope they continue to do so. Thanks. Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. That was Keith Smith. I'm Cyrus Sautzes. You can follow the program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs and me on Twitter, Cyrus Sautzes at Dog Surf Roadshow. And one more time, Keith Smith on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Thanks, everyone. Later.